The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Tech Tuesday time now with Andy O'Donoghue, and we'd have a special guest with us in a moment as well. But Andy, I want to first ask you about the Amazon Prime Day. Now, I'm reluctant almost to cover it on the basis that domestic Irish retailers hate the idea of people spending their money outside the country and importing goods that they could buy here in Ireland. But to start, Amazon doesn't have an Irish website as such, does it?
It doesn't, Matt, no. And over the last probably decade or more, Irish users have traditionally used the UK website, with a limited amount of people ordering from Germany for one reason or another, where Amazon have a website that's denominated in euros. The problem for Irish users in the last year or so since Brexit happened is that the Amazon pricing is a little bit more confusing than it used to be, and we now have to pay in Ireland or outside of the UK, we pay import fee deposits when you order. And that can make what used to be attractive pricing on Amazon somewhat dubious, in that you have to do your calculations before you press the buy button.
Okay, and the import fee deposit can put the price up significantly, can it? But then if you have these discounts available on Amazon Prime Day, do you end up getting a good deal?
Truly a bizarre 24 hours, Matt, and a lot of chatter on both the boards and on Twitter today. I bought an Amazon device myself yesterday, which today, because the pricing has changed, is about 25% cheaper than I paid for it yesterday. Ooh. And it appears that what Amazon have done over the last day is they have realigned the promotional amount that's credited at the checkout. So yesterday, we saw deals. And then, of course, you have this thing that, you know, the prices are advertised in British pounds. There's an option to convert them to euros and then guarantee that exchange rate. Like, it's not easy to figure out. The upshot of my experience is that the little Blink camera that I bought is now a little bit cheaper today than it was yesterday. But, Matt, curiously, something like the iPhone 12 mini, which I looked into specifically, is now 122 euros cheaper on Amazon than it is on Apple's own website in Ireland today, which is very odd. Great if you're buying one, but curious.
And when the Amazon goods come into the country, could they be impounded until you pay additional taxes to the Irish government on them?
No, the experience of users, I have not spoken to anyone who has had that experience. And in fact, I used to be a regular buyer for Amazon over the years. And I know in the last 12 months, I have bought a lot less. Now, I'm still a Prime subscriber. And I suppose one of the bonuses there is I get Amazon Prime Video. So, you know, I'm very excited this week. Final series of Bosch, their brilliant in-house drama, is starting. So I feel like I'm ahead. However, these deposit fees do get refunded. And curiously, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I got an email telling me that I was getting something like a 6 or 7 euro credit in that I had overpaid. And so Amazon liaise with the people who do the shipping, who process the import fees, and you do get the refund. But I've never seen a situation where they've undercharged the deposit fee.
OK, now we've asked our weekly environmental contributor, John Gibbons, to join us as well today, Andy, because, John, you were outraged by a report on ITV yesterday, which has got enormous attention internationally, about what has happened in an Amazon warehouse in Scotland and is believed to happen at many other locations. Tell us what goes on.
Good evening, Matt. Yeah, this ITV investigation, they established that in a given week, and the particular week they looked at was in April, about 124,000 items in one warehouse in Dunfermline, Scotland, were marked for destruction. Now, it is important to say that's one of 24 such facilities in the UK. So back of the envelope calculation, Matt, I reckon that's about 3 million pieces a week, maybe 150 million pieces a year being destroyed by Amazon just in the UK. So
when you say pieces, because some of these are very expensive, much desired objects.
Yeah, it's the whole shooting match. I mean, starting from, for example, one of the items was 20,000 COVID masks still in their wrappers. Never they'd been produced, never taken out of the wrappers and destroyed. There were Dyson fans, there were Hoovers, there was apparently even some Apple products, the odd MacBook and the occasional iPad. So these are not sort of rubbish end of life items that are just being chucked. So it seems that the inventory and distribution system that Amazon operates is so vast that it seems at times to be more efficient for them to do this. And again, to look at this, one of the issues as well is that vendors pay Amazon to hold their stock. So let's say you have a particular item that you're selling through Amazon. You pay them to hold your stock. And if the stock isn't moving, and particularly let's say you've changed stock, then Amazon say to you, you're going to have to pay us more money to continue to hold your stock. So oftentimes what happens is it becomes cheaper for that vendor through Amazon to dispose of the goods, right? Particularly when those goods are being brought in from overseas, than it is to actually manage to sell them. And of course, Amazon here have been caught a little red-faced out of this, especially during their Prime Week. And they've been kind of backpedaling furiously, explaining that they're working towards a goal of zero product disposal. Now, Matt, we'll know from our Thursday slot that when you hear people about who are working towards goals, it's like that net zero goal that everybody's working towards. So essentially, they're nowhere near there. So as
I said, and I see they said in their statement, John, no items are sent to landfill in the UK, which would make you suspect they're sent to landfill elsewhere. But Andy O'Donoghue,
yes,
I want to bring Andy back in on this. This would also appear to be a particularly good way of keeping pricing up for all the goods that they do actually manage to sell, which would give you a good indication of how significant the margins might be on an awful lot of tech in particular.
Well, the retailer margins on tech aren't particularly good, Matt. So electronics carry a relatively small margin. You know, in the case of a MacBook or something, maybe something, you know, you could go from 10 to 15%. But for other goods, they would be higher. This is not a new thing in the computer industry, particularly if you go back, computer factories for years have destroyed goods on site, usually under the supervision of the revenue, so that they could get a rebate on the duty for things like the CRT, the cathode ray tubes, which used to have a very high duty rate. There is one thing, and John's point is a really good one about what happens to the goods when suppliers don't want to keep them. This is a problem, Matt, with consumerism. And because we now expect retailers like Amazon and others to take our returns back if we don't like them and if they don't fit. So in a sense, consumerism, I think, is feeding this problem in a little bit. And it really doesn't help from a circular economy perspective.
Because, John Gibbons, an awful lot of the goods apparently are returned goods, which are perfectly good, unused, perfectly merchantable, but they're not sent out again. But in addition to that, we have things that have never even been taken out of the box, expensive items, desirable items that could go to charity or could be sold at a lower price. There's an ethical or moral issue as well as an environmental one here, it would seem.
Absolutely. And we have to remember, there's an enormous ecological environmental footprint attached to the production distribution of all of these goods. So these are not, it isn't inconsequential. When you look at a small electronic item like a phone or a laptop, they look small, but their ecological environmental footprint is really huge. So it's kind of heartbreaking to see stuff like this being destroyed like this. But I think in fairness to Amazon and to pick up Andy's point there, I think we need to point out that this is right across the industry. I mean, I was looking into this, for example, H&M, the retailer, they destroyed in one period 60 tons of unworn clothing. And this again is because, why is that? They keep changing the stock. They're pushing it through faster than the retailers can sell it. The stock comes back, the stock is destroyed. There was a trick, Matt, where fashion producers were dumping clothing into Africa. So you might often notice on TV footage, you see kids and adults in Africa wearing Arsenal jerseys, and you're kind of wondering, how did they do that? They're dumped X stock. Now, many African countries have said no, that their textile industries are being destroyed by dumped goods from the West. So what we're finding now instead is the companies are destroying them. And as you said, they're using some language about we're not going to landfill. But what they're doing instead, of course, when they're not landfilling, is they're incinerating. Now, they say that's circular. If you're lucky, Matt, you'll recover 5% of the gross energy involved. So the loss here throughout every step is colossal.
We've gone way over. John Gibbons, Andy O'Donoghue, thank you for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today.